Welcome to Lisa's Walk the Talk Show, where you'll get a sneak peek into stories and lives behind the authors, entertainers, and celebrities that you love to read about. Sit back, relax, and let Lisa and her guests entertain you. Now, here's your host, Lisa.
Good morning. This is Lisa, your host of Lisa's Walk the Talk Show. And today I'm actually doing a reading from one of my own books, and this is called The Skater. It's a story about a man who meets Jesus on the ice. It's a story I started a couple years ago, and I'm just getting ready for release this fall. It's book number one in my Christmas in the Bluffland series under my Snowy Creek Books imprint. And my quote is, sometimes it's not what you know, but who you skate with that changes your world. And that was certainly the case for 50-year-old Sloan Miles when he revisits his childhood hockey rink to skate and shoot a few pucks with a man who goes by the name G. Shepherd, arriving wondering if he can enter Sloan's game. And while they skate, G. Shepherd asks Sloan life-changing questions that bring comforting words to Sloan's overstressed heart. Can this man find a way to restore Sloan's shattered faith and the trust that he'd skated away from as a young man? This book's going to be sold exclusively at our Peacock Books and Wildlife store in Rochester, Minnesota, downtown Rochester. And I hope you'll sit back and here's a little bit of the excerpt of the book. Now, this is an advanced review broadcast of the book, so some things may change. But for now, this is how it starts. The Skater by L.L. Christensen. Chapter 1. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Psalms 118:17. King James Version. Election Day, November 3rd, 2020. The Allendale Park ice rink in Northwest Rochester was finally installed. There was no ice, but it was ready for it. As people came and left through the doors of the old elementary school nearby, the very door Ellie hadn't entered since grade school, she could see herself sitting there on the bench, trying to untie the frozen laces of her skates. She couldn't. Everyone left back into their classrooms, even her sister. The more she sat alone, the longer she could feel the cold, a small breeze, but cold nonetheless. Time passed, and no one came for her. Did her teacher miss her? Were the heads not counted one by one? Unable to wait any longer, and not able to remove her skates, she walked down the hall, all the way to Mrs. Franklin's class, and stood in the open door. Lauren, she called to her sister. Everyone looked at her. Lauren's teacher looked at her, but Lauren gave her a look that told her she was needed by her sister. She came to the door. What are you doing here? I can't get my skates off. Ellie fought tears, but failed to untie them. What are you doing in here with your skates on? They're stuck. Be walking on the floors with your skates. You'll cut up the floors. Leave her alone. Can't you see she's stuck? Lauren defended her sister as the janitor yelled at her. Under the wings of her big sister, they went. Sloan Miles stood on the ice rink from his boyhood year, just months after turning 50. But for him, the only thing that had come full circle was the hockey puck he was tossing onto the ice, hitting it to the right, the left, right, and for a second, though alone, he could envision the faces of long-ago friends. Hit it, Sloan. For a moment, he found that grit. The puck spun in front, and Sloan hit it square on, and it slid past the goalie. And with Team Sloan cheering, victory! Sloan skated to the cage and retrieved the puck, holding it all the way to the center of the ice rink, his skate marks, the only pair to have cut the ice, and slapped his stick against it again, but the puck ricocheted off the rink wall and slid into the back of the goalie net. He skated over and slapped the puck again. This time it slid across the lines and right through the arms of an invisible goalie. Sloan skated around the rink, chasing the puck, scoring a goal with every try. He raced across the ice to see how fast he could skate, pausing only for a moment as he slid his skates to a side stop. Thump, as the hockey stick hit the ice, bringing him to a complete stop. He looked up and was face to face with the blackness outside the rink. Player one on the ice, and no other. He wiped his eyes. If only he could be back in 1987, back when it meant, when being 18 meant freedom. It meant a future. And who would I be? He thought. He could go home and have his dad ask him if he'd cleaned up after the dogs and gave him water. Great Papa would be calling to see how he was doing, and the only thing he had to avoid was his older sisters. Amen. He couldn't wait to graduate. He had big plans. He was going to... Got room on the rink for me? A tall man with shoulder-length brown hair and gold streaks rimming his gentle face approached. His voice was calm, unquestionable. The kind of guy you'd seem to know all your life, and on second glance, knew. You'd never been face-to-face with him a day in your existence. He wasn't even sure how or why he said it, for the words spilled, yeah. In fact, you can have the rink. I'm done for the night. I was hoping you'd skate with me for a while. Do you have time for a first-time skater? Sloan looked at his skates and wondered if he pulled them from his great-great-grandfather's closet. Nice skates. You don't see that style anymore. They were my father's. I see, Sloan said. It was these or fishing. Don't you like fishing? I do. You know, one fish, one man, two fish, two men, or so it goes. I'm not following you. I wish you would. How's that? Follow me. Sloan looked up and down at the man's skates and how wobbly he was on them, like he was standing on legs made of noodles. You sure you want to try this? I've always wanted to try this. Might be a good way to connect with others lost on the ice, you know. Sloan looked into his eyes, his soulful eyes, and said, you want to take the blade guards off first. You'll be in for a ride then. Can you help me? Nope. You want to be the skater? You got to do your own blade guards. What's that? Sometimes you got to cut a few floors to understand. I'm not understanding. Ask my sisters. They can tell you a good story about getting stuck in ice skates and walking where you should not walk with blades wide open. Sometimes even people need to be broken to be free. What's your name anyway? I go by a lot of names. Most people just call me G. Shepherd. Okay. G. Shepherd, do you even know how to play? I'm going to let you teach me. Sloan chuckled. If you're looking for a teacher, you've come to the wrong rink. The man pulled his wool cap off, the one with the ho-ho-ho knitted in white letters across the dark purple yarn. His hair didn't wrap around his face. It fell to his chest, long, like a girl's hair, as long as his daughter's. And he had the purest blue eyes he'd ever seen, almost silver. He looked young, but older than him at the same time. Physically fit, trim, but not very athletic looking. He was the kind of guy you'd see in a nativity scene, a wise man or Joseph at a Christmas story play at church every year. Are you in a play? Matt Sloan asked. Not that I'm aware of. Have you... been in a play? Many, I guess. Professional? Glory to the Father. Performance plays, mostly. Never heard of them. Sloan dropped the puck in the center of the ice, Okay, so now you know that you hit the puck with your stick, and the point is to get the puck into that goal net. Yours is there. This one, he pointed to the right, is mine. So if I'm shooting, you want to block the puck. If you're shooting, I'll block your shot. Whoever gets the most pucks past the other into the goal wins. You can win. Well, what's the point of playing if you don't want to win? Sometimes it's just the time spent with another. Sometimes it's just the time spent with another. I don't even know you, Sloan looked at him oddly. Even his clothes didn't seem thick enough to keep him warm. Are you homeless? Sloan wanted to know. He'd still play, but he wanted to be sure this guy wasn't going to jump him or hit him with a stick. Up to that point, he'd been acting weird, had odd skates, and just seemed lonely. Do you live around here? Sloan asked. I live everywhere, it seems. How did you find this rink? Sloan wasn't sure this guy was for real. I felt called to it. What, like dial G. Shepherd for a good time? G. Shepherd skated pretty well, suddenly, for a new guy, and somehow sneaked the puck behind Sloan's view. Is that a score? Are you hustling me or something? I thought you couldn't skate. Now you score the first puck? Do you question everything? G. Shepherd said. I question what needs answers, Sloan cleared his throat. You show up here, after I do, wearing skates from another time. You say you felt called to this rink. Come on, dude. Are you G. Shepherd, a Jehovah Witness or something? Is this a new way of telling me my car warranty has expired? Sloan laughed at his G. Shepherd joke. G. Shepherd didn't say anything for a minute. I guess it does seem kind of strange how I found this place and you here. You don't have to worry. I'm not here to hurt you or confuse you. Sloan snapped. This would be a good time for just the truth. Okay. I am G. Shepherd, or so they call me, and I came here tonight to skate and meet with you. You don't even know me. It's 2020. You don't just show up at somebody's place and ask them to join their rink. I don't know you. I don't even want to know you. Everything you're saying in your way is making me uneasy. Sloan skated to the goalie net and stopped, scooped up his puck, skated it back to G. Shepherd, and he sped fast across the ice. Keep it. Sloan looked into his eyes, still calm and gentle, while he felt his own bulging face from his face. Over the guy's head. One round, is that what you call it? I stopped hoping we could build a relationship. Okay, stop. That's what I'm talking about. He lifted his arms into the air, waving, taking off his gloves, slipping off his coat. You keep saying things like that. Sloan looked at him up and down. Do I look like I need a relationship from what I can tell, from what you explained, living out everywhere? You're a homeless guy, and you're probably going to rob me the first chance you get. I have a family. I got to go. G. Shepherd waited until Sloan got to his truck and walked to the edge of the rink, leaning his body on his hockey stick. I'm not going to rob you. If you're leaving for the family, go. If you're leaving because of me and how I communicate, don't go. G. Shepherd pulled all of his hair that had come down after his master spin and Olympian slide that Sloan left in a puddle of ice flakes. I promised my daughter a Christmas tree. I gotta go. That's it for today's show. That's it for this recording. And I hope that you'll come back and check this out. You can buy the book at Peacock Books and Wildlife Art in Rochester, Minnesota. And we've got another book coming out. I've got another book coming out that follows this called The Christmas Calf. This will follow between New Year's, Christmas, and New Year's. And it's actually based on a true story of a calf that's born retarded here in the Rochester area that's put behind a barn to left to die. But God's got a message for that farmer and the son that finds him. I hope you'll join me for our next broadcast. We've got a couple shows coming up this next week. And again, Peacock Books, Wildlife Art, This is Lisa, your host of Lisa's Walk the Talk Show, signing off until my next broadcast, when I'll be back with a featured guest, a new featured guest, to continue this Walk the Talk journey.
You've been listening to Lisa's Walk the Talk Show. If you're an author or entertainer and you'd like to be considered for an upcoming broadcast, log on to Lisa's Walk the Talk website at www.lisalc.com for more information. That's www.lisalc.com. Lisa will be back next week to continue this Walk the Talk journey.